Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Sam Darnold has a new team. A shockingly fast way it came together today. The New York Jets telling everybody, hey, Zach Wilson's our guy. They trade Sam Darnold to Carolina for 3 draft picks. It is a 6th rounder this year, and it's a 2nd rounder and a 4th rounder in 2022. First of all, let me say this. This is what we told you the deal was going to be. It was going to be like a 2nd and a 3rd or a 2nd and a 4th and maybe a pick going back. So a 2nd and a 4th and a 6th for a guy who has been one of the 3 worst quarterbacks in the NFL the last couple of years. Yeah, I'm absolutely fine with what the Jets did. And look, honestly, I knew it was coming. And I feel like today is the rip the Band-Aid off new era for the Jets, because there was no way they could go back with him. There's just no, after so much has gone through with the coaching change, and he never flashed. You know, and that's the thing, is that for everybody today, you know, as soon as this trade went down, you know, good for Sam was trending on Twitter. And I shake my head and I go, you know what? These are people that really think that the entire team, it's all their fault. It's not the quarterback's fault that he was bad. It's the entire team to blame. It was everything with the Jets why Sam Darnold stunk, except for Sam Darnold, right? It was the offensive line was bad. It was he didn't have the weapons. He didn't have the right coach. He didn't have all these things. None of the blame goes to Sam Darnold. That's why I say he has the Jennifer Aniston excuses that he's had, that people make for him in the media, right? Well, Jennifer Aniston, well, this was could have been a movie. That could have been a script she did. She shouldn't have done that movie, but we're going to keep giving her chances because, boy, we love Jennifer Aniston. You know, Sam Darnold is the Jennifer Aniston of quarterbacks. People want to make excuses for him in his career. Oh, he's great. The bottom line is the guy has not been a good quarterback. Okay, he's not been good. He has been one of the lowest rated passers in the NFL the last couple of years. Okay, he was bad from his rookie year to year 3. He never got better. He showed no sustained signs of getting it long term. He missed open wide receivers routinely. And I don't mean he overthrew them. He missed seeing his secondary and tertiary receivers repeatedly. And it was a source of big frustration with the Jets. How does he not see this downfield? Okay, he had no 300-yard passing games when his team was getting blown out. All right, no, 200 yards was a big day for Sam Darnold. In an NFL where everybody's throwing for touchdowns, he throws for 9. It's just, I don't get all the excuses people think that, oh, Darnold's going to be good. We just have to get him away from everything else with an entirely new team and new ways to go. I mean, I get it. The Jets have been bad, but this is an entire team and organization, and you're going to blame everybody else but Sam Darnold. No, eventually, after 3 years, the quarterback's got to get some of the blame, and Sam Darnold was no good. I loved it when they drafted you and me. I'm Sam. I love Sam. Sam. When Iowa Sam fills in for Alex Tyshon, I walk around, Sam. But eventually, Sam turned into Sam turned into, oh boy, Zach, because he's just not been good. And I don't care how you cut it up, there is nothing he has shown that tells me I can be a next-level quarterback in the NFL. If he was really going to be good, if he really was, the Jets would have kept him. The Jets would have kept him. They would have said, we feel great. We're going to get a playmaker at number 2. We pick again. We're going to get another guy here. We're going to get a defense back. We're going to get another offensive lineman. And we're going to build around Sam Darnold. But they didn't. You know why? Because he's not been good. This is the team that knows him the best. And they have said, sorry, you need a new start. We're going with a new quarterback. That's how it goes. And you want to keep making excuses for Sam Darnold? That's great. But just realize that you are blaming everybody except the guy who stunk. And you got to give him some kind of responsibility for how he's played.
Look at you. Just going all in on your guy, Sam Darnold. How quickly it spins away. No, look, it's an easy excuse to make fun of the Jets. That's really all this comes down to, is it's the Jets can't get out of their own way. Woody Johnson said thank you on Twitter today. Said, good luck, Sam. Go try to prosper somewhere else. And obviously, there have been a lot of missteps. And talent-wise, yeah, they've not been good. But the only thing I can point to of the last couple of years from Sam Darnold is the throw that everybody was getting all giddy about from Wilson and Justin Fields and everybody in their pro days. Sam did that in a game. Now, they were getting buried, and he played terribly to that point. But physically, you can see, hey, occasionally there might be something here. Okay, they changed the defense, too, because they were getting buried. Did I mention that? But he's a guy that you bring into Carolina, and I asked the question for them, is he any better than Teddy Bridgewater? Like, what are we doing here? Like, that's the thing that I raised my hand on. Sure, there are more playmakers, right? We talked DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. They brought over Arnold from Arizona to go with Ian Thomas. So you got two tight ends. McCaffrey comes back from injury. There's a lot of excitement. I'm just wondering who's seeing that there's a different quarterback under center than the guy that's been there? Like, how much better is he than Teddy Bridgewater? What are we doing here? And then you still have reports going, well, they may still take the quarterback in the first round. It's like, oh, yeah, because that'll make sense to all of this as it flows. But, hey, it's the NFL. We see some craziness from time to time, no question about it. But for Sam Darnold, yeah, there's no excuses. There's nothing. Like, as much as folks can bemoan, and I'll bring, you know, my former guy in. Well, actually, now I'm part of Bill's Mafia with my love of Josh Allen. But with Mitch Trubisky, there were at least times where you said, all right, this kid could get it. We didn't do that a lot with Sam Darnold, hardly at all in the 3 years that he's been running around as the quarterback for the Jets. And yes, he's had some unfortunate circumstances. The mono year will go down in infamy for, you know, just random things to befall a quarterback in his career. But we haven't seen him perform consistently. I wish him well. Goes to an organization that's on the rebuild. Remember last year, all they did was draft defensive players. So in theory, he'll get support on that side of the ball. And the playmakers, as we mentioned. But how much better a quarterback will he be? What suddenly is going to make him shine there? Is it just getting out of a Jets uniform? Because if you listen to analysis of the trade, that's really all anybody's coming back to. I hate the Jets.
Right.
And
yes.
That's sad.
Yeah.
And that's a sad state of affairs. Because we can do that with a lot of organizations. You got to look at the player, not just the logo on the side of the helmet.
Well, look, is he going to be better? Yes. You know why? Because he can't be any worse. You know why? Because he was the lowest-rated quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Is he going to have a better offense around him? Yes. He's going to have Christian McCaffrey. He's going to have two really good wide receivers, including one who was his guy, you know, 2 years ago, and Robbie Anderson. So, yeah, is he going to be better? Of course he is, because he's going to be on a little bit better team. The Panthers' offense is better than the Jets' offense. But do you really think suddenly he's going to throw 35 touchdowns and throw for 4,500 yards? I mean, you really think that's going to happen? Let's say the guy throws for another 1,000 yards, right, and another 15 touchdowns. That means he's going to throw for like 3,300 yards and 24 touchdowns, and that is not even a middle-of-the-pack quarterback in the NFL. All right, many quarterbacks can succeed with great talent around them. It's because the great talent is around them. You have to have some kind of talent to come into the league, but Darnold's not that guy. I mean, we've seen enough of him. We've seen enough of a sample size, and the guy gets hurt. You know, seen him for 3 years, he gets hurt, whether it is a freak injury, whether it is a sickness, an illness, he misses games. He's missed at least 3 games every single year. And I look, he could go to Carolina and play okay, because I fully expect him to play okay. Look, I'm rooting for the guy. He seems like a good dude. He gets what it's like to play in New York. He never threw the organization under the bus or any of his teammates. He was very dull. He always said the right things. It's what you're supposed to do if you're a quarterback. Not everybody's got to be Baker Mayfield, but look, to think suddenly he's going to go and be a savior, this is the Panthers trading a second and a fourth and a sixth for a guy that you're hoping you strike a lucky strike with, right? You're hoping you hit lightning in a bottle with. And if you don't, oh, well, we really gave up a second round pick. That's really what we did for a core. When we tried, we held out for everybody else. We didn't, you know, Deshaun Watson's probably not getting traded now because of what's happening with his legal situation. So we got to do something. We hate Teddy Bridgewater. We hate him so much. You know, we got to get rid of him. So we'll go and get Sam Darnold. This is not we're giving up 3 first round picks and bringing in Matthew Stafford, and boy, he better be right. Let's just understand that this is a risk, right? And I really don't get all the analysts who are like, oh, yeah, oh, he's away from the Jets. Yeah, the Jets stunk. But even on the worst of teams, quarterbacks flash. Quarterbacks flash and show you, hey, this guy's got something. He can be pretty good at some point. Darnold never had that. Never did. And I watched him just get worse and worse every year to maybe this is who he is. All right. At some point, you have to stop and go, okay, I get that he might be, but maybe this is kind of who he is. Maybe this is the quarterback. Maybe he's a guy that needs to get out and be someone that's surrounded by a lot of talent and play street ball to keep plays alive. Maybe that's who he is. And maybe he can be okay. But make no mistake, you are trying to hope that this guy is now just going to be an okay quarterback. And he's got a stronger arm than Teddy Bridgewater, so the Panthers can say, hey, at least he'll throw the ball down the field a little bit more and not have to worry about underthrowing Robbie Anderson and him coming back to the huddle going, come on, man, can you throw it a little bit further? I mean, so that's really the level of buy-in that the Panthers have on Sam Darnold. And for all the stuff, oh, good for Sam to get out, good for Sam to get out. It's like they haven't watched him play the last 3 years. I'm sorry, but you're watching a guy play for 3 years and what he's been able to do and not do, it's a pretty big deal. You can't just whitewash it and wash it away and go, nah, he's still good. Let's go back to when he was drafted. No, he's got 3 years of not playing well. It's the way it goes.
Bit by bit, man. Bit by bit. You know, better opportunity, better personnel, better uniforms. I mean, all of those things come together to create an opportunity.
Like, well, that's like Papa John's. Better ingredients, better pieces, better uniforms.
I don't know. Hey, you know what? We had folks for years. You look good. You play good.
You sure? So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
From Deion Sanders all the way through. Yeah. That's a mantra that's been around the league for years. I would love to see it, but we watched for 3 years waiting for it to happen. Can you turn back the clock and suddenly unleash what Sam Darnold was supposed to be? Because remember, even at USC, turnovers and problems. Like, there were flashes then. It's been a minute since we've seen those big lightning bolts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Baylor, as the clock ticks down to zero, the Baylor Bears are your national champions in college basketball. The celebration is underway on the court. They win it over Gonzaga 86-70. And you take a look back at where this Baylor Bear program was in 2003 with the controversy and Dave Bliss and covering up crimes. Yeah. And look where they are now. They're partying right now on the football field. Everybody's going crazy. The Baylor Bears are your national champions in 2021.
Wow, just remember that story. Oh, the stomach churning, remembering the details of all of that. Hard to believe it's been that long, but just an amazing journey in this tournament. Second best team, quote unquote, all year long. So we got the clash that we wanted for the final. And in the end, Gonzaga goes to the wayside like so many would-be undefeated teams and great teams in our history. Right. Compare what we thought about the New England Patriots when the New York football Giants took down that undefeated juggernaut. And then you look at the Warriors when they won 73 games. They didn't finish the job. Ergo, the Bulls 72-win season still reigns supreme. Homerism at its finest. But all these almost ... in our sports history, and the Gonzaga Bulldogs now go in with one of them. But, you know, great season. Tonight's all about the Baylor Bears and a fantastic effort because they never looked back, right? They came out swinging. This is one of those, hey, they rang the bell, and instead of the feeling out process, nope, charged out of the corner of the ring, throwing big bows and kicks. I took it into the MMA because, well, we want to just get everything involved because they threw everything they had at Gonzaga here to take them down. A fantastic effort. Congratulations, Deb Carson, because I think she won all the pick-ems as her Baylor Bears win the title.
You know, I'm reminded of that great commercial that Charles Barkley had when he was playing, when he, you know, not the I am not a role model one, which is one of the most famous commercials of all time. Listen, I'm not a role model. If you buy this shoe, it's not going to make you rebound the ball like me. It's not going to make you make plays like me. It's just going to make you have shoes like me, period, right? That was the famous one. But I love the other one he made where it's just him, and he says, the meek may inherit the earth, but they won't get the basketball. You know, like, and that's clearly, you know, what this game was, because every time Gonzaga missed a shot, and it's not like Gonzaga was terrible. Look, no, they shot 51% from the floor, but I think they had zero offensive rebounds. Every time they shot and missed, this was Baylor with three guys around the basketball, and they were getting it. Look, one of Baylor's guards had more rebounds than anybody else on the team. So this was completely one of those, we are going to come out, there's going to be no feeling part of the game, we are going to come out and try to exert our will right away, which sometimes is tough to do when you're playing a team like Gonzaga, because, okay, they're good, let's see what they can do, let's see what we can counter with, right? Let's see how we can counter Gonzaga, and when that happens, well, look, you're part of the game is lost already. But Baylor was the real thing all season long, man. They only lost two games, and they came out right away, and Gonzaga never made a run. No. And that's the shocking thing about this game, is that in basketball, everybody makes a run. Everybody does.
Well,
everybody
college buckets, we always wait for that one big one.
Nope.
And the only quote-unquote run was to get it to 10 at halftime. 10.
Yeah, that was
it. Starting the second half, there were a couple of good possessions, but it was still at 11. And then it got into that 15 to 17 range, and it never was in doubt. 16-point margin of victory. You talk about the rebounds, 38 to 22. Offensive rebounds, 16 for Baylor in this game. And you look at total turnovers, Gonzaga finished with 14 on the night. I mean, just an incredible. Largest lead was 20. Gonzaga, the juggernaut, the highest scoring team in the land, never led.
You know, and I can't sit back and say, okay, well, what was wrong with Gonzaga? Because in the beginning of the season, they beat really good teams. You want to say, oh, look at their schedule and look what they do in conference. You know, yeah, okay. Is the West Coast Conference great? No. BYU was pretty decent this year, but I get it. But, you know, this is a team that beat Kansas early, right? They beat West Virginia early, all right? They beat Iowa. These were all top 10 teams. Then you get into their conference play, and no, then they weren't really challenged. But then you get to the NCAA. They beat Virginia, you know, by 25 points. So they played good teams. And then you get to the tournament, and, all right, you beat Oklahoma, you beat Creighton, you beat USC, you beat UCLA, you beat some of the teams who were playing great. This was just Gonzaga lost. This wasn't about their regular season and about them being soft. All the Gonzaga was the best team. Baylor was better tonight. Baylor wins a national championship. There's nothing Gonzaga could have done or should have done or what happened through this that would have had them win this game. Gonzaga was great all season long. They had a bad time to play a B-minus game. Baylor played their A game. And look, this tells you really where we were at from the Elite Eight through now in college basketball. Because how many times we didn't see any Elite Eight teams play crappy and go home, right? From the Elite Eight on, it was, hey, you didn't lose this game. The other team just won it, right? That's kind of what we saw in a lot of these big Elite Eight games, right? Obviously, Gonzaga and UCLA. UCLA didn't lose that game. Gonzaga just won it, and they made a big shot at the end. You can say that for UCLA and Alabama and all these other games. You see games in the Elite Eight and the Final Four. This was a team had an A game and had an A night, and they were just a little bit better than you. And it wasn't that you were terrible. It wasn't that you did this. Or you couldn't match up with them. They were just a little bit better everywhere, and that's kind of what we've seen. That's been the theme of the past six or seven games in the NCAA tournament, and it comes to a fruition tonight for Baylor in that win.
I just want to, you know, this is one that while it wasn't close, it was fun to watch the energy from Baylor, and you're waiting on the run. You're waiting on the edge. It never came. Never came. Always a big margin here, but Gonzaga, as you mentioned, tough, battle-tested off the jump and the schedule being abbreviated. Like, who knows? But certainly from the tournament perspective, look, we won, man. This last month has been fantastic, going all in. Congratulations to getting through to only losing one game because of protocols. Just an amazing a feat from all these teams and players and the coaching staffs, trainers, you name it. It's just been a joy to watch and why we celebrate these games. And I know they did the big intro coming into the broadcast, John Hamm doing the voiceover, just, you know, kind of reminding you, hey, don't get caught up in viewership numbers and whatever else. It's all about spectacle, and that's what we remember. A little bit preachy, but still, that's the point. Who cares? As long as you watched it, as long as you witnessed it and got into the emotions of these games, because it's hard not to, right? Baylor with the big team rebounds, and you see four guys pumping their fist, you know, 15 minutes left in the first half. Like, you could tell that there's just a different energy and excitement to it. It's why we love college sports. I know there's a lot of litigation going on, a lot of things that need to be figured out. But for me, as, you know, Joe Blow here bloviating on the radio and just being a fan of the game, I got everything I wanted and then some.
Do you like football? Do you like the NFL draft? Well, guess what? I have you covered on the Three and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff. I need you to go subscribe right now because we're talking the draft. We're talking Zach Wilson. We're talking Justin Fields. Mac Jones. Is he really going to go to the 49ers? I have it all covered. I used to scout in the NFL, and now I talk about football on the Three and Out podcast. Go subscribe right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We have a big $340 million dilemma where everybody is holding their breath after what happened to Padres star shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. tonight. Hurt himself taking a hard swing and immediately left the game against the Giants. He struck out swinging, you know, reached across the plate for a ball and immediately fell to the ground, cradled his left arm while he got up. Two trainers helped him off the field. All right, now, hopefully he is okay. It looks like it could be an arm, some kind of shoulder injury. He did have a bad shoulder or a shoulder injury earlier in the spring. He came back after a couple of days, so it wasn't that bad. But you have to wonder if this is part of it, and you don't know how much longer he's going to be out. And hopefully he is good. He is great for the game, and we're hoping that he comes back. I need to go back to what we said when Fernando Tatis got this $340 million contract, okay? Because this is why we're talking about him. If it's just Fernando Tatis gets hurt, it's not a big headline. But it's crazed because they gave him $340 million, right? And what did we say at the time for Fernando Tatis? The deal that should have been for him was more of a Ronald Acuna 10-year, $100 million deal because that's what you do. Hey, listen, you get paid a lot earlier, but you're also helping us out later on in this deal. But the Padres paid him like he was Francisco Lindor or Bryce Harper, who had shown 5 or 6 years of staying healthy and showing that you're a superstar. Right? Because the thing with Fernando Tatis, and we said it when it happened, was that you're paying a guy that has barely played the equivalent of one season in Major League Baseball. All right? Fernando Tatis played 84 games in 2019, and he played 59 games last year. All right? That's one full season. And he was great. He's great so far. He's hitting 300, 40 home runs, 99 RBI. He's been terrific. But the reason guys get $340 million contracts in their mid-20s is because the two things they have shown is that we are consistent with our stardom and we are consistent with what we do out on the field and we show that we can stay healthy. And that's why this is such a big deal right now because, oh my goodness, you gave Tatis $340 million. That's why we're talking about him, is because he's got this kind of contract. I hope he's, well, I really do. Of course I do. I hope he's great. He's great for baseball. He's got a great personality. The guy is so bleeping exciting. But you could tell this spring he wasn't right. He had 5 errors in his first 4 games. The shoulder injury that kind of lingered. He wasn't swinging the bat well. How banged up is he? Is he going to need surgery? What's it going to be? These are big questions, and they're big questions because of the contract. That's why we're talking about this the way it is.
Yeah, you and I, you know, for the years that we've been on the show together, my consistent thing in all sports is I don't want to pay a guy until I have to. Right, I understand the business of it. And when we talked about Tatis's contract specifically, it was, I get the logic, right? Make the splash, make him the guy, perpetuate the face of baseball, and hey, Dodgers, we're here for you. And we ain't going away anytime soon. And you avoid all the potential problems down the line when he's outplayed the contract. Because that always comes up, right? Guys are mashing and saying, well, I'm making, you know, peanuts. When I should be making, you know, here's where my stats are commensurate, you know, with the other guys at my position and what they're getting paid. So there were a lot of, from a business perspective, I guess you could say, all right, let's fall in line and let's just get it done. But how many times have we talked about Wentz and Goff and so many guys in the NFL? It was like, why are you paying these guys before you have to? Right? Why are you doing it? And then certainly for baseball, there's always the fight over the time in the minor leagues and holding guys back, service time questions. This is a, you decided to make your statement. Unfortunately, you bet big into a pot, and right now you're holding your breath, hoping this is a short-lived injury. David Chow, Dr. Chow, who joins us on Fox Sports Radio, you know, he talked about it and initially analyzed it as a shoulder thing that could eventually require surgery, but maybe he can play through it. Either way, a very scary moment for all of Major League Baseball.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, one thing that's starting to take over a bit on social media, I just shake my head and I go, man, people just want to hate, right? Pepperdine is trending, right? Pepperdine. Now, look, Pepperdine, I've seen that campus. Oh, my goodness. If I could go anywhere, I'd go to Pepperdine. But then
you wouldn't get anything done.
No, I wouldn't, because I'd be out of school in a month. I would say, but I've been on the beach for the last month. Yeah, you got to go to class. Oh, really? Oh, that's a thing. Oh, wow. Didn't know that. All right, I'm going back to the beach. Well, you're out of school. Again, I'm paying for it, right? I mean, Pepperdine is the most beautiful campus I've ever seen. But Pepperdine is trending because it's in the West Coast Conference, and there's a big push online of, oh, here are the Gonzaga Bulldogs who didn't play anybody, all right? They didn't play anybody. The regular season did them no favors. And I'm like, this is just somebody. You're just stupid. You just look awful. Like you haven't watched a second of college basketball all season long, okay? Because all you got to do is just don't even look at the games. Just look at the schedule, okay? Just look at who they've played this year. Yes, they played a whole West Coast Conference schedule. BYU was a sixth seed in the tournament, and Gonzaga beat them three times, all right? But let's forget about that for a second. They played and beat Kansas, who was a three seed in the NCAA tournament. They played and beat West Virginia, who was a three seed in the NCAA tournament. They played and beat Virginia, who was a four seed in the NCAA tournament. They played and beat Iowa, who was a two seed in the NCAA tournament. In the tournament, they beat Oklahoma, Creighton, USC, and UCLA. Yes, it did be Pepperdine. But these are the teams. This is a third of their schedule outside a conference. All right. And you're talking about Kansas, West Virginia, Virginia, Iowa, all 2-4 seeds in the tournament. And then the teams they beat in the tournament, Oklahoma, Creighton, USC, who was playing as good as anybody going into that game. And they survived that game against UCLA, which just went through everybody with their four guard lineup. So really, you can't sit here and tell me, oh, they didn't play anybody. They would have been tougher for March. They had every single kind of game you could imagine. Right, they had close games. They had blowout games. They had a close game in the Final Four when they know full well, hey, we can't take anything for granted going into this game against Baylor on Monday night. They barely escaped against UCLA. They had everything. They just lost tonight. And Baylor beat them because they were the better team. There wasn't anything Gonzaga didn't do or anything they could have done or anything they could have done with their schedule. They played a game tonight. They played their B-minus game. And Baylor played their A game. And Baylor's the national champions.
Gonzaga outshot them 51% to 44.8. Obviously, clouded a little bit because we hang out and see the 16 offensive rebounds that Baylor had over the course of the game. I mean, that was the tail of the tape. We talked about it early on, the rebounding margin, the loose balls, everything else. But they shot the ball pretty well. Some bad turnovers in the first half, and then they're never able to close the gap. It doesn't negate what they did the rest of the season. They matched up with a team, and dare I say it, maybe I'll be that guy. Maybe Baylor was the better team, right? No matter what the rankings said, no matter what the prognosticators said, all of that stuff. Maybe we just, the numbers and the algorithms didn't capture it all correctly. But it doesn't take anything away from what Gonzaga did all year long. I hate that, right? Oh, I meant nothing. They beat a bunch of bums. You ran off that list. Sure, it's a better resume than so many other teams that folks tried to prop up over the course of the year. So I just shrugged, man. Some of the hot take nonsense that starts to get air, and we certainly see enough of it that we just chuckle and I go, man, I really just need to go down that. Maybe that'll add a couple of zeros to my paycheck if I just say stuff that has no bearing in fact. Right, and just kind of throw it out there. Yeah, okay. Hey, look, I didn't do any research, but you know what? You can go and disprove it because I've already got my runs and clicks, and we see that on a daily basis. But yeah, to try to push away from what Mark Few and this team did over the course of the year? Come on now. You're just kidding yourself, and you're just looking to grab a nice, big, heaping cup of haterade. Celebrate what they did. Unfortunately, they didn't finish the job, right? So we put them in the list of the almost but didn't teams of our history and our collective sports memory, but they had a hell of a run. We're going to yell Timmy for the rest of time, and we're going to remember the shot. We're going to remember the shot. You can't take away all those things. And UCLA, by the way, folks, they were the projected number one team in the Pac-12 coming into the year. Go and look at everything that happened to that squad along the way. They weren't some also-ran. They just needed time to gel. Yeah, they gave away a couple of games late in the season. Yes, that was a bad run. And they say 22-10. How good were they? That was a pretty good team, as you saw. So, but yes, Timmy and that mustache will be one of the memories indelibly etched into our brains forever. Congratulations to Baylor. They beat another number one seed. Do I need to underscore that too? It was another number one seed that beat them. It wasn't some 12 seed that, you know, they were doing Harlem Globetrotter trick shots trying to make things happen. Or suddenly there was a rock and jock option that they just had the one sharpshooter that won his lot at carnivals. Come on now.
And I don't know what Drew Timmy is doing, but he has a bucket. It could be confetti. It could be water. Meanwhile, Baylor gets another dunk. Oh, my goodness. Timeout, Mark Few. Oh, it's confetti. Oh, no, wait, it's water, and Mark Few is soaking wet. Timeout, Bulldogs. They want to talk it over.
You know, that would have been kind of fun.
No, that would have been good.
Asinine. some of the stuff and the takeaways from games. Like, okay, did you watch? Did you just look at a box score? Did you go out for dinner, not pay attention, and then figured you needed to use your blue check mark to start flame wars just because? And all of you listening, your producers for those shows, you know who I'm talking about.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.